Color me quencher, color me wet, color me glowing and hard to forget. Color me quencher, color me wet, color me softer, the softest lips yet.
Lip Quencher, created by ChapStick, drenched with moisturizers, so your lips feel as good as they look. Color me quencher, any color you choose.
Color me quencher.
It is August 1988. French Vogue puts its first black model on the cover with Naomi Campbell. Freedom Vogue declares Tokyo's most sought-after improvement is sweat gland removal. Cher officially launches her fragrance Uninhibited at Trump Tower. And The Times reports on the rise of the body glove brand. But you don't care about all that, because you're going to be on the news with ace local reporter Janet Scuparoli. She's going to interview you on a segment about the whole free dentist bullshit and what you know about that night. You've already decided that you're not going to hold back on dentists, but what you haven't decided on is what to wear. This afternoon, you're off to the Nine Corners Mall to buy something new. So this morning is all about finding that perfect outfit. You've narrowed it down to a few ideas. You're thinking tartans and lots of them, denim and lots of it, or maybe a sweater, but just one of them. Lucky you, the latest issue has thoughts on all these. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy.
And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Pamela Ribbon.
I feel like we're getting very close to figuring out what state the town is in if it's one with a nunagonal mall.
Well, if you know your geography, you can suss it all out.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I don't have an update from 1988 August in my fashion life, but I can give you a product update in my 2021 life. Because I did buy two of the products that were mentioned in the last C episode. I bought the Clarins Beauty Balm and the Sebastian Molding Mud. Sebastian Molding Mud, I tried it on dry hair. I tried it on wet hair. Both were no go. I might try it again because I've just had a haircut. This was like at the end of my haircut cycle, so perhaps that's why. It was just too much hair for the mud to handle.
And after a week of working with the Sebastian Mud, it has worked in a way where it's like 3-day hair, 4-day
okay.
hair.
Yeah.
It does a good wax kind of situation for messy clumpy.
Okay.
And if I'm going to pick it up and I want it kind of piecey and messy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did, today I started clean again. But I kind of use it like I used to use a Veda shape wax.
Okay. I like that product. I don't know why I stopped using it. Yeah. Kiehl's has a curl defining like cream. And that's normally what I use to just make my curls bounce more. Molding mud, it seems like, I don't know how I would use it without a lot of labor that I'm not prepared to go into because as we previously established, I am lazy. However, the Clarins Beauty Balm, holy moly, that review by Christina did not lie. It's really good. It's like an immediate pick-me-up. And like Beauty Balm is something that you definitely started seeing maybe 10 years ago, more like even in the drugstore cosmetic aisle, like Beauty Balm plus foundation, which is mostly what I use now. I don't use like a bottle of foundation because it's too much. But this is even less. Like it doesn't even have a tint really. It just sort of smooths you out. I don't know how. It's magic. That's the product you bought as well?
Yeah, I'm wearing it right now.
So am I.
You can't. Yeah. That's, I thought we looked beautiful.
I thought so too, but then we didn't get a compliment from the man in the chat.
Well, it's all this not red hair sitting around. Wasting
true.
Dave's eyeball time.
I am just trying to keep the vomit down, guys. That's what I'm concentrating on.
All right, let's get into the fashion of this issue, starting with the cover. Once again, shot by our old friend Andrew Southam. And when they give more details on the background of the cover on the About Face page, we learn the model's name is Carrie Boone, first and last name for the first time ever.
Is that somebody I should know who it is?
No, it's just like every other time it's been, they've just been giving first names.
I see.
And this way you can actually identify her.
They doxed her.
Right. This cover is a bit more of a departure from the other ones. She's like doing more of an angled pose. It's not as busy as the premiere issue, but there's definitely some trick photography in terms of the hat, Pam.
I didn't realize how much was going on with this hat, because at first I just thought she was getting ready to practice to do one, like it's just some Fosse number of some kind. Mm-hmm. She's pretty, but I don't enjoy anything else. I don't like the colors that they're using for all the copy. Later on, there's a fake cover in here, and it's just much better. The whole thing is much they should have gone with the fake cover. Yeah, this hat is stupid.
Yeah. The angle that the way they crop it for the cover, it disguises how many layers it has to it. It has a lot of dimension. It's much taller than you think.
If you imagine Babylonian ziggurat that's been overgrown and sort of it's all a little softened, it's not quite straight edge anymore, or like a Aztec temple or something, that's this hat. Like you can almost see the sacrificial body rolling down after his heart's been ripped out by some Aztec up at the top. And he's like, yeah, that's what you get for messing with the Aztecs. That is the sassy cover in a nutshell. Messing with the Aztecs. Also the name of my first album.
Messing with the Aztecs, an instant classic.
Yeah, it's sung to the tune of Watching the Detectives.
Fun fact about this model, she was in the New Kids on the Block video for Please Don't Go Girl.
Please I thought she girl. Looked familiar.
She is messing with the Aztecs.
Her body is a temple.
Oh, no. Now here is Fred.
He has to show up. Messing with the Aztecs.
And then Tara in the background is Michael McDonald.
Messing with the Aztecs.
All right, that's it. This episode's over. Sorry, guys.
Bye. Thanks. Fashion feature is called Smart Tartan, which also has got a real rural drurl vibe to it.
Why isn't it called Smartin Tartan or something? Like it almost rhymes, but
it's
not quite.
A little
quite.
Too cute. Smartin Tartan.
Smartin Tartan. Smart Tart or Sweetheart.
Right? Because you want to add.
Anyway.
Or you want to add something to smart or take away. You either want Smart Tart or Smartin Tartan.
Or Smartian. Smartian. Mm-hmm. Well, it is not an outfit anybody would wear here opening up the Smart Tartan spread. It's just a lot.
Glad for plaid.
You got to be super glad for plaid. You got to enjoy. Here's what you got to say. You got to go, you know what I want? I want tights. Clunky docks. Then I want plaid tights. Then I want a skater skirt in a quilted situation and make sure that the quilting is defined with a black thread on a red quilting. Then I want a full button up, I'm going to ride a horse outfit, but I'm going to ride a horse because I've won something. So puffy sleeves and then all the way to the wrist where you have ruffles on both sides. Then please peplum that. Can you peplum over my skater skirt? Buttons all the way up and then a bow tie in a different plaid, please. Pull my red tartan hair back. And I'm sure there's a bow or a bandana back there. And then she's holding. I couldn't even understand that it was a belted stack of books.
Yeah.
The cutest thing I've never seen in real life because I thought it was a purse.
The other detail I would say is that, you know, when you get certain shirts and it has the piece of cardboard in it to keep it like straight on the display shelf, like a dress shirt.
Yeah.
It feels like she put this dress on and it still had the cardboard and right now it's over her boobs because there's something very, very straight about that whole area.
It looks like a paper doll. Yeah. It looks like everything is just pasted in front of her and not on the actual human. Where the tights are faded, that's where she was. That's where her hair was. And this is just in front of it.
And it's worth saying that she is Dead Fish Dorf from a couple episodes issues ago.
She does not enjoy her Listen to Sassy nickname. But that's true. It is Dead Fish Dorf. They've made her look even more uncomfortable 2 pages later in 61. First of all, I should have said that's Betsy Johnson's red tartan stuff because she wanted to prove Dave correct. The whole thing is kind of like, oh, we're going back to school, but now we're into horses.
Yeah. There's nothing more expected than a spread of plaid for fall or back to school. this is not the last time we'll see plaid and sassy either. So I went through and looked at all of the 17 magazines, starting with August 1958, because when I Googled 17 plaid, that was the first one came up, and it has like either five or six models all in red plaid on it. But you're going to see plaid on the covers of 17 magazine, August 1960, August 1963, August 64, August 66, 67, 68, 69, nice. 70, September 71. Then back to August, 73, 76, 77, 78. I have this one. This is the one where when I found this cover, it looks exactly like Jean Smart, but it's not her. September 79 and 81. Back to August, 85, 87, 88. Houndstooth still counts. September 1990. That one's Cameron Diaz in Buffalo Check. August 91. September 92. August 94 in a kilt on Katherine Heigl. I believe I've made my point. Plaid for fall is the florals for spring groundbreaking of the latter half of the year.
On page 63, we both had notes about these shoes. They took the shoelaces out and used ribbons, quote, ribbons from a trimming store and two different kinds of ribbons to tie up these shoes. And Tara said, this shoe made a huge impression on me, even though I never did it. And this shoe made a huge impression on me. And of course I did it. Of course I did it.
Did you go to a trimming store?
Well, I mean, I was sewing. My mom was,
right.
You know, we had right. stuff. So yeah, we didn't call it a trimming. We called it, you know, the fabric store. What's the difference? Is a trimming store just notions?
I think so. And if you live in New York, they probably do specialize more. Like you would go down to the fashion district and find stores that would own, like our old, we're all rickrack or whatever.
Yeah, like a sewing things and the such.
Yes, things and the such.
I still buy red tartan on the regular. It does make me feel well read. I didn't even mean it, but it does.
I mean, it's a classic for a reason.
There's this giant beret on the page 65 that made me go, who and why and what? And it's ridiculous. And the big beret is by Whittle and Shawn. I'm not a New Yorker, so maybe you guys are all like, yeah, it's Whittle and Shawn. But anyway, they're still on their bullshit. They make big, crazy hats for not us. I mean, they just make hats for people who know you wear a hat to an event. There's only once that I've ever had to wear a hat to an event, and it was a, you know, a British wedding. And even then I said, I don't think I should because I'm not. It doesn't seem of my culture in any way. And they were like, you have to.
They're calling it a beret, but I'm pretty sure it's just like you can't see the little ball at the top. And it's a, what is it called? Tam O'Shanter?
Oh, yeah. Tam. Yeah.
A tam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's huge.
That's not a beret. Yeah. It's huge. It's huge. And she's trying her best to hide behind anything. But that's all you can see is the beret. Anyway, I didn't want to wear the fascinator because, is that what it's called? Fastener? Fascinator?
Mm-hmm. Fascinator.
Which one? Fascinator. Because I knew that when I put it on, I'd immediately be like, I'm going to a wedding. Hey! And it did. It's exactly what happened. Every time I put it on, I was like, cool. Who's getting married? Is it me? It's terrible. It's terrible.
Fashion feature number two is called Hyper Denim. And it is. The photographer is just named Alvarez. I tried to find him or her or them. If they're still just shooting as Alvarez, they're not anymore, as far as I could tell. Our models are Simone and Aaron. Simone definitely becoming a fave in the magazine. She was one of the models who got to go to the Caribbean a few issues ago. And her dorky kid pic was in the Before They Were Hot model story from the last issue. And so this concept with the models against a stark white backdrop is very Vogue. It makes even the very dorky looks pop, but it must be said, some of these are very dorky. One of these pairs of jeans is called, like, motorcycle jeans, and it looks like it's because the fly kind of looks like the top of a motorcycle jacket. It's just a lot of this is trying too hard. And to go harken back to Pam's warnings about trying to dress like a skater if you're not actually one, same thing if you're in a Harley Davidson t-shirt. I know that they've become more fashion-y, but like you got to be careful and be aware where you're wearing these things. However, that said, there's a pair of pull-on elastic side shooties, like shoe booties, on page 82, which I would like. So if you know where I could get them, please let me know. I'm into them.
Boy, you're not lying with this trying too hard. The very first picture. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't understand why they're all in black denim motorcycle-y stuff and there's like lots of top hats. But anyways, the pants she's wearing have like a zipper down the side.
Yeah.
From the top down to the bottom of the leg. But there's first of all, why? But then also on top of that, there's a big like brand patch at her calf. So you can't actually use the zipper at all.
No, it's hot. It's kind of hot though, I got to say. Someone can wear it. It's someone else. I didn't even notice they were wearing clothes because the shoes are great on every page.
It's true.
And then I went and looked up these shoes because it said shoes from Tootsie Plowhound. And that's all I've said for days now, just walking around like, feel like a real Tootsie Plowhound now, because Tootsie Plowhound is the best thing I've ever read. And I'm not from New York, which is very clear, which is why New Yorkers are like, and then it became Auto Tootsie Plowhound, which sounds like a Canadian comedian's sketch. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're going to open with Auto Tootsie Plowhound. We're going to open with Auto Tootsie Plowhound and roll right into Sgt. Pepper. So there's a whole thing about it. It, like, was a little boutique, like, where you went and got your weird shoes. And then it merged with the shoe store next door of Auto Titslinger or whatever. And then... Yeah. Together, they became Auto Tootsie Plowhound, and it did close at some point after it became, like, not cool, and I guess some, like, normie shoes got in there, and people were like, why am I even doing this? Anyway, back to Poser Central, though. Don't wear anything that they are wearing as jewelry. My God. It looks like they won it with tokens at Dave & Buster's or Chuck E. Cheese. It is so bad. It looks like clip art glued to construction paper, and you're like, I'm a rapper.
I think if we can put a name to this fashion sense, it's a ski ball motorcycle.
Yes. The one with the other, where the hat is on and then the jacket is all buttoned all the way up, is also just atrocious.
Ringmaster Slash, that one?
Yes, it is. It's the greatest, least greatest showman. Oh, it's terrible. All of it's terrible. What is cute, I will say what's cute is, I guess, Doors/Platoon Chic on page 82. And that zipper is a cute side zipper. That thing goes from the hip to the hellos, to her, what is it called? Her suches? Her undersuches? I've already forgotten.
Things of the such.
There are things of the such. This zips from her belly button to her things of the such. And I think these are cool jeans.
Anybody else worried about the girls on 82 and 83, though? Their pants are falling down because they haven't sufficiently zippered them and buttoned them up. They're going to get chilly.
That became a thing, though, that you kept your buttons opened.
That low? That open? Mm-hmm.
If you're a model. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Pam did it in real life.
No. I meant that low, if you think you can get away with it. And or you're being photographed for a fashion magazine. But that, Pam's right, it was a style, but generally the pants were made, they were like jodhpur styles, and then there would be like the extraneous buttons that would go up to your belly button, and those were meant to fold over your belt or your waistband or whatever.
I was disappointed that this wasn't hypercolor jeans, which would be very embarrassing.
I don't know if they're out yet.
Yeah, this is pre-hypercolor, I think.
Oh, did they do hypercolor pants? They didn't, did they?
I'm sure they...
Really?
Well, you couldn't... Sure. Pants, I would probably not, because where they would change color would be around your garage.
Oh, Tara got there eventually.
Listen, if you have a beta pair, which certainly there were beta pairs of hypercolor boxer shorts or something, please tell us about the beta testing.
What if you got a pair of hyper denim pants that were actually hypercolor denim pants?
Yeah.
And you just really freaked everybody out by putting like a bag of ice in your crotch. And so like that area was like, you know, the predator can't see Arnold Schwarzenegger because you got a bag of ice in your pants.
Kind of. Are you okay? Because there's a bag of ice in your pants. Are you okay?
Yeah, like, fine.
How are you just walking around with balls chill as hell? What's going on?
It's a warm day. It's cooling. It's also leaking. It makes me look like I peed myself.
That's what
I'm
saying.
But I'm fine with that.
All right.
There's not a man, woman, or child alive in the world today that doesn't enjoy a cold scrotum.
Cold Stratum in Hyper Pants.
Oh my God, Pam doesn't know how close that tune is to Cold Slither from G.I. Joe.
She doesn't. She doesn't.
Action! Everybody, action!
We're Cold Slither. You'll be joining us soon. A band of vipers playing our tune. With an iron fist and a reptile hiss, we shall rule.
What is that idiot doing?
We've heard it before. We're not gonna play.
Our third fashion feature, let's just keep going with this theme because it's the B-52s all over the place. Yeah. The sweater girls. Every girl here can get it. Every girl can get it in this spread. Thank you, photographer Laura Rossignol. I hope I'm saying that correctly because you know what I dig about Laura? Or Lauren, perhaps? On her website, she still lists Sassy in her clients list. That's how you know she's fucking cool.
Yep.
These are just girls with their hair up and the bangs and the cardigans and the sweaters and the pearls and the thing and the purses. And it's all so cute. But it reminds me of the first time I saw the Legal Tender video when I was a kid, which scared the fuck out of me. But if you take Legal Tender on top and Hopelessly Devoted to You everywhere else, you have this, this spread. They even put in a ginger for Dave. Look how they're wearing Dirty Dancing pants and biker pants. I can't do this, Tara. I know. Like I'm supposed to go off a pommel horse.
The number of times I've tried a cropped jean, like it's I don't know why, what it is about my legs that they reject them. But there's a pair on page 100 that like I will spend the rest of my life just futilely pursuing.
Yeah. That the look. Whole thing that I will try to do that sweater. Both of these looks I will try and fail at forever because I can't get my hair to do that. I look terrible in bangs. Look how long her neck is in the turtleneck. How is she wearing wool on top of that? And then look how she even has a calf, and yet it's great. It's like a good chubby calf. Look at her knees. Anyway, these girls can get it.
Yeah. This isn't in every issue, but we get a what next? Big designers fall forward, and I will say, as someone who read a lot of teen magazines, it's very unusual for a teen mag to show, like, actual high fashion runway for inspiration for the readers rather than just knockoffs that you are going to see in the next 6 to 8 months inspired by what was on runways. This is the real deal. They're not necessarily telling you, go out and try and buy any of these designers. They're saying, look at what they're doing and copy it, which is why, I mean, the big hat— That's probably why we saw it in the denim story. But if you see the picture in the top corner with the top hat with all the hat pins sticking straight out of the top, that's going to be in a future what next. So keep an eye out. So the designers they feature, Patrick Kelly is one of them. He was really on the come up at this point. He had just opened his store in New York a couple of months before this, and they probably got the button idea from his collection, judging by pictures that I found when I was looking into him. And he was the first American to be admitted to the governing body of the French ready-to-wear industry and died of AIDS not long after this, in 1990. His former client, Gloria Steinem, eulogized him at the funeral. We also see some stuff from Stephen Sprouse. He was a big New York punk scene guy. He, at this point, had already declared bankruptcy. When I looked into him, I was like, oh, wow, it's the Halston story again. But anyway, 1988 was his comeback year after signing with a big manufacturer to revive the brand. And he had collaborated with Keith Haring on this collection, but we don't hear about him. He had ups and downs over the years, but came back in 2002 with a line of apparel and home goods for Target, one of the earlier designer collabs that Target did, and died of heart failure in 2004. Finally, this is very early to be shouting out Gautier. He would not become well-known for designing the costumes for the Blonde Ambition Tour until 2 years after this, but already, like, the lingerie with the big, super pointy boobs, that was in vogue the same month this issue came out. And he, Martine Sipon, and Michiko Koshino, who are also mentioned in this, have managed to remain alive, and we salute them.
And speaking about Koshino, if you're like walking to a restaurant, but you feel like you would benefit from fainting about two blocks in, may I suggest a ensemble made out of a neoprene wetsuit?
Mm-hmm. It looks cool as fuck. I look at that. That thing is slick. You probably feel like an eel the whole time.
Yeah, I think that's for people who they don't walk to a restaurant. They get delivered there and like poured into their chair. And then they just sit very quietly until everyone leaves and the restaurant closes and then they go home.
Or you're an extra on The Fifth Element. That's like the only two things.
To our beauty features, starting with beauty feature number one, Who's That Girl? Once again, a collabo between cover photographer Andrew Southam and cover model Carrie Boone. The idea of this one is, hey, change up your look. And it's a bold choice to do four completely different looks on a girl whose hair is this short. Like, there's kind of nothing they can do, which is why it's like, here it is kind of spiked up. Here it is combed flat. Here it is with hats. I don't know. Like, usually when it's a story about changing your look up, you get more hair to work with than this.
Yeah, this is like Johnny from Airplane explaining all the things you can do with the paper pterodactyl. Yeah. And they're all kind of the same. Yeah.
So this seems designed to click in like a puzzle piece with the four different makeup stories that they showed the boys for the survey down to the slicked back hair. Like, none of these is that weird or that remarkable. They're all very conservative, in my opinion. But this is the first time we've seen a cover image tie in directly with an editorial feature.
Another beauty feature is Wake Up! Page 9 and Other Things Your Mom Says. Remember when we spent a whole Saturday going through our parents' closets and just like putting shit on? What if we just do that same concept, but like you're just being you, getting ready in the morning?
Overall, this is a 4-page article and it averages 6.5 minutes of your day per page. It starts at 7 o'clock and it ends at 7:26, or I guess 8 o'clock if you're being technical, but really the last thing's at 7:26.
Yeah.
It's like the other article, but way more boring and less interesting.
Well, because this one is like, here's how you get ready for school. It's August. So you can't just hang around the house vibing, doing whatever you feel like. Now you actually have to be somewhere at a particular time. So get your shit together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you do not have time to look as restful and sweet and happy as she is this whole time. Like, she's contemplative at the makeup. She's like just having a bath, like not even in the shower, like a full-on loofah bath, and eating like slow oats. So you're right, it doesn't really match. She can't dry pin curls in this time. That's just not happening unless you're doing a hairspray situation. But it also tells you to have whole grain toast and bagels served with jam but no butter, and I just thought that was an unnecessary, like, what, like, let me have some, why is jam better anyway? The pictures are cute. It makes you feel like you should take care of yourself in the morning, which I suppose is its inspiration of like, get up, stretch, clean yourself. And this spread has the cutest manicure I've ever seen. Her manicure is perfect, and I covet it. Look at that. Look at those nails. Look at those cuticles.
They also tell you to shower the night before. And I feel like there are two types of people in the world. People that can start their day without showering and people who can't. And I feel like that's a scam.
The night before shower is reserved for early plane rides to distant lands where you're going to have to shower again when you get there because, you know, you've been in an airport for 14 hours.
Even then, I mean, I've tried that and I can't, like, that's even worse. Like, the shower is part of the makeup process for me. Mm. I mean, the wake up process. Like, if you roll out of bed at 4 and you have to get in the cab at 4:15, it's like you're just going to feel awful all day. I don't know.
I feel like as soon as you get to the airport, you have like invisible stink and the little particles of germs are starting to collect on your face. Like,
yes.
You have that shower that you take in the morning gives you like a 35-minute window of cleanliness. I would just shower the night before. Pam, your thoughts on night before showering?
I live with someone who takes 4 to 7 showers a day and talks about it for about a third of his day.
What are you talking about? Why does he shower so much?
Because that's how he resets anything. It's just like a thought or the day, or he went outside and came back in, or when we're finished with Mayor of Easttown, we're going to take a shower and then we can start Last Week Tonight.
You ever see Midnight Run? There's a character at the Bond thing, and whenever he has to like exit, he says, hey, you guys want some donuts? I'll get some donuts. I think that's what's happening with Jason. He says, yeah, I got to take a shower. And then he goes and does his secret spy shit, and
yes,
he comes back. And
that's what he's talking to his handler. Yeah.
This is all possible. I shower in the airplane bathroom. It's just big enough for that. You just, because you can't drink that water. I don't want to waste it. So I just.
Will.
It's time for We Try It, in which they try things. The first one is terrific for teens. It is a cleanser and it's really foamy. It is fun to use the facial sponge, guys. Terrific, that's T-apostrophe-R-I-F-F-I-C. Just sounds like if there was Klingon My Little Ponies, that would be the lead one. Like Klingon My Little Pony, Honor is Magic or something like that would be the series.
Starlock Jam.
Yeah. Kaplach.
What did you say?
Kaplach. I know it sounds Klingon.
It's not what I thought you said at first. So you may not have tried Candy's color graphic nail polish because I couldn't find it anywhere. And you probably didn't spend $300 an ounce for Estee Lauder's perfume. But somewhere you have, out of its shitty box, Conair's fashion plates. That box crumpled upon arrival. And you had these plates, like, you know, from the first time you try it, you have destroyed your hair forever. But you did it to try to get like a star in your hair or a heart in your hair. And then you, I don't know, moved and it all fell apart and frizzed up and it's over. I just wanted it to work. I wanted it to work and it doesn't. The pictures of these girls are why we got screwed on this. Look how easy they make it look. Not a one of them has good hair. I can't even tell if it's the same girl.
This is not the same product because it doesn't have stars. It just has like different degree of crimp.
Different size waves.
Yeah.
They're all coming from that same line of bullshit. Because this wave doesn't really give you a wave. The crimp is the only one that really works. Those, like, you know when you accidentally turn the curling iron the wrong way and you're like, fuck, that's what two of these plates do. And you can't ever get that out.
I will say, when the quiz was how vain are you, I teased it on our Instagram by putting up a picture of Conair fashion plates, and it's gotten like the biggest response of anything we've ever put on Instagram. Like people viscerally remembered this. And I feel like one listener or one Instagram follower who presumably also listens said, I still have this at my parents' house. So if you hear this and you were able to find it, please call in and let us know what it did to your hair in 2021 if you were brave enough to try it.
Earlier in the episode, Pammy was like, why would you put like a bag of ice on your scrotum? That's crazy. And then here we are talking about putting hot molten metal near your head. You ever like just take a moment to think about how insane curling irons at all really are?
Yeah. My mom used to iron her hair on an ironing board, which is what she yelled at me while I was doing this. Back in my day, you'd have to come on and lay your head over. I'll starch it and everything.
So if you want to give me an apology for ball ice, go ahead.
No. We still burn our heads with these
things. Seems to me, between a curling iron and a bag of ice on your junk, I'm getting the better deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Boys make it seem like your balls are so sensitive. I'm just saying, I do this all the time. It doesn't, I was having, that's fine.
I've got a bag of ice on my scrotum right now.
Damn it.
I have a straightening iron I've never used, partly because I'm still traumatized from my mother curling my hair with a curling iron. And in my opinion, not being careful enough about whether she burned my scalp or neck.
That is like when you go get a straight razor shave at a barber and you're thinking, at any moment in time, this person could kill me, disfigure me. A lot of things could happen and it would be able to do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You guys reminded me the other night I couldn't sleep because I realized that one of the reasons I don't like sleeping is I've never forgotten that George C. Scott could just karate chop you in the bridge of the nose and kill you instantly while you sleep.
Yeah.
That's from Cat's Eye. And I saw it, and then that's it. Every night when I go to sleep, it's like, oh, this might be when George C.
Did George C. Scott live in your neighborhood? Do you have a history with George C. Scott?
No, just seemed like, it seemed like a kind of thing that could just happen to people. He just was showing up in rooms and smashing their noses into their brains and killing them instantly while they slept. Let's do a reel about face and not talk about face at all. Clearly what happened was they were like, guys, just phone this fucking shit in. I don't know. We switched jobs and nobody did the about face. And this is like, do you know that models like get tired? Do you know that you could like put shit in your hair to make it blonder? Hey, there's like eyeshadow. And then that's it.
Yeah, it's very lazy. You're right.
So lazy. This month's Then and Now isn't really a real makeover in any way. They just took a girl and changed her glasses. And I don't call that, that's not a makeover.
No, it's a really six of one, half dozen of the other situation.
I mean, it changes her look, but you're right. It's just like giving her a new outfit, really.
If you're going to change your glasses, then show me like a new way to do her eye makeup, or what new lipstick can she try, or what is interesting about her hair. Put a fucking hat on it. Instead, if she's wearing two hands as a hat, and it's not the same thing. But this look is like, if you were tired of Billie Jean loves Sinead O'Connor, now you can be Lori Petty loves Ellen DeGeneres with one pair of Keith Haring glasses and some buttons. It really wackied her up. And I don't think that's fair. I took her very seriously before. And now I'm like, oh my God, she's a lot of work, isn't she?
Yeah, they're very Iris Apfel, the afters. By the way, we haven't said this much, but you can see everything we were describing is in the visual aids for this episode. So you can see what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And congratulations to Samantha Morton. She looks great.
And then, so it says if you have a round or a square face, here's how you should pick frames. And I was like, well, I don't have a round or a square face. And then Tara put in the notes, you do, Pam. It's one or the other.
I meant the collective you, not you in particular, but, you know, oval and heart-shaped are the other ones that they usually offer. And oval is basically round. And if your face is heart-shaped, it just means you have a pointy chin and you can do whatever you want. Heart-shaped faces are the most adaptable for glasses.
Because they have good hairlines?
Yeah. I thought Dave was, like, telling us to move on. He's just opening pop.
I'm just... Sorry. Don't you hear that?
I was just saying, psh, I love you. Yes, I can hear that.
She also looks like Annie Lennox. Did somebody say that already?
No. She would get mocked with, oh God, that was I think you should play
You're walking
the
on broken glass.
Slow,
you should play
the slow coke whenever we don't know how to end a bit. Like instead of crickets, just that slow psh.
Wait a sec, hang on.
Oh, I saw that happening in slow motion. How didn't you?
Sounds almost. Nice try, Coca-Cola.
He said, "Oh,
my stars!"
You did a full-on Pretty Woman jewelry box snap to a Coke bottle.
Oh, I remember this girl. Let's talk ads. The exciting thing about this issue is we get so many ads that we haven't seen before. And this one on page 13 for Bongo, this girl with the short pixie haircut, looking over her shoulder like she wants to punch you in the face, is another formative memory for me. She looks so cool. And a lot of the jeans in this issue are fucking terrible. And these are, at least they're shot in black and white. We can't tell how stone or acid washed they are. But it's more her face and her whole attitude that I remember. This is a great ad.
I think I had this jacket with this Bongo. Like, this is giving me memories. The puffiness of the sleeves and how, like, just voluminous this jacket is. That you think, oh, no, it's cool. She's on, like, a motorcycle or something, and it's blowing in the wind. And then you get it, and you're like, oh, no, it's a puffy denim jacket. It's nothing but fabric. But I thought that Bongo patch was fucking cool. And so I had a Bongo denim mini skirt too, because the patch is cool. Bongo for girls who can't afford Guess.
On page 28 and 29, there is a spread for Lee's Jeans, and I will describe the marketing initiative here. Did you forget to do proper maintenance on your car and you're now stranded on the roadside in the middle of night? Lee's Jeans.
Page 30 to 31, we have a full spread for Bonnie Bell eye makeup with all different color combinations and concepts. And this is, again, like the fake science in that CoverGirl mascara ad from a few issues ago. This is the kind of thing I would have pored over and tried to decide which eye am I from all of these different things and then done the same thing I always did, which is purple eyeshadow and too much of it.
Can I tell you what the boy equivalent of this is?
Yes.
It's when you bought a Star Wars action figure and you turned the card around and it showed you all the other action figures in the same series that you can get. Like you just bought the Stormtrooper, but you can still get Obi-Wan Kenobi and Death Star droid and whatnot. And you're sitting there like, I want them all. And here's what I have to deal with until then. Death Star Commander. Yes, please. Starlight Jam.
Page 32, we get another ad for Camp Beverly Hills. And in previous issues, Camp Beverly Hills has been very like, when you live in California, you wear less clothes or they're more funky or they're pastel or whatever the hell. And here we have people beside a pool. I don't know if she's got just a huge sweater on or if that's like a skirt that's styled like a sweater. This outfit is very weird. But
can
also
I tell you what I think is happening here editorially?
Yes.
Oh, editorially.
At the heart of this, there's some photographer or artiste that is trying too hard. And I believe he's trying to, this is a statement on Roman decadence. And she is wearing a cardigan toga.
Yeah.
Being fed grapes by one of her house servants.
Yes.
While the lord of the house is going to brain her with a half of a watermelon, apparently. Next up on page 40 and 41 is a Reebok ad. I believe Reebok is new to Sassy this month. The tagline here is Reebok's let you be you. And they've cleverly used the letters you be you. And then the photo, keep in mind the caption is Reebok's let you be you, is a bunch of people in kind of a whatever new wave hipster conga line all doing the same thing. So Reebok's let you be you as long as you be everybody else.
Fall in line.
Page 56 and 57, we have another ad for denim. And this one I'm going to say is the very worst one. I mean, you were mad at the Lou Diamond Phillips acid wash. This one laughs at that acid wash. It's so aggressive and so ugly. This
Are those
is why
pleats? She got pleats on like acid wash jeans?
Yeah.
And two crotch buttons.
No, there's like the regular fly, like at the top with the button. And then there's like a protective extra layer that you put on
after.
Yes,
a chastity belt.
It's like, you know, like barricading the drawbridge, you know, putting that piece of wood in the metal to make sure none of those invaders get into your
wretched
sunset blues.
Yeah.
The vandals.
Too soon.
People would buy this now.
People do all kinds of things they shouldn't. So you're probably right. We get a whole supplement for Shine Free from Maybelline. The concept of Shine Free is that your skin is very oily. It will take down that shine, even though they also make mascara and eyeshadow and other shit that has nothing to do with how shiny your skin is. But if you flip to just the inside and see a purple thing that looks kind of like an hourglass, that was the Shine Free loose powder, the worst package for any cosmetic product there ever was. I know that for a fact because I used it. It was so impractical. You could never tell how much was left. And the idea was that you put the brush in the top part and then like turned it over. But there was always too much or too little. It was terrible, terrible packaging. But did I use the little Shine Free line? Yes, I did.
What about this all 80s all the time lady that they've got in this ad? Like we're talking about like Trey's LA having all the smells. She's got all the 80s. On at once. Wow. Dayglow green Madonna glove. Like everything. Everything. Amazing.
In her defense, it is the 80s, so.
Well, but I think it's kind of, this is out by now.
On page 115, another denim ad. This one for Xena. Woo! This one's hot. She's soaking her feet. Her feet.
I just also, Tara, that's definitely of a certain age. Woo! She's hot. She's soaking her feet.
She is. This is one of the sexier ones. It's a very adult ad for a teen magazine, but she's got all the hair. She looks like Julia Ormond in a lace crop top with her jeans rolled up and champagne.
Yeah, she is post-party, the champagne says, and the heels that are off. And that's why she's soaking her feet, because she danced all night.
Yep. She's having a kind of life I never have and never will lead. on to page 125.
Good time, man.
Page 125, we have an ad for an album. Get hype, guys. Woo! The new drop from John Norum. First off, John, change your name. That is not a rock name. That is an accountant.
No, that is a rural Northern English mayor of like Hamlet Collective or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. John Norum just lost his seat, what was thought to be a safe borough.
Don't get your John Norums in a bunch. I'm coming.
He's a one-issue mayor, and that is keep the pub open. For God's sake, keep the pub open.
Yeah. Don't never heard of this guy, never then or now. Who is he? We'll never know.
Okay, but he's like this, you know, he's a rockin' rocker with his guitar, right?
Yep.
John Norum steps out, and he's in Total Control.
Apparently, he is Norwegian/Swedish, so sorry about making fun of his name, but he still has an official website, so he's still out.
If you like rock that colors inside the lines, you loved John Norum. He's in. Total Control.
I'm adding some John Norum Total Control to the Listen to Sassy August 88 playlist, just so you know. His number one hit Spotify-wise from this album is called Love is Meant to Last Forever.
Are you ready to rock? I said, are you ready to rock? All right, well, sit down and listen. I'll do a song from my album. Thank you. There will be no encore.
Then, guys, get real excited.
Okay, get hyped on this, though.
This is big.
Woo!
This is the biggest one in the issue. Okay. On page 127,
dun, 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 dun.
We have an ad.
The return.
Of Glebby!
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 Glebby.
I never went anywhere. I never went anywhere. I'm Glebby.
Plus the card, even the mm-hmm. blow-in card for Glebby is still attached in our issue.
I do. Ooh. I sure do. Who took the Glebby card out?
Yeah,
you find
point.
One. Everybody's like, I got the River Phoenix poster.
The most common insert still in Sassy Magazine is the Glebby discount card.
It's only valid until the end of August 89.
Fuck! Excuse me, get the Glebby 1988-89 student smart head card.
Yeah, that's the thing they were hyping in What Now when we talked about it in the first time.
I know. Pam, where did you live at this moment in time? You still in Mississippi or are you in Texas?
Still in Mississippi. Yeah, I'm still in Mississippi.
Well, you'd have to go to D.H. Holmes or McRae's. Those just sound like people. I think you just have to yeah. visit people in Mississippi. Hey, is this Douglas Holmes? Yeah. What do you got? Well, help yourself to whatever's in the kitchen, 25% off with your card. You should visit Gladys across the street, Mrs. McRae.
Page 129. This is one of two half-page ads that are twins for Eastpac. We've got Dirtbag on the left, but on the right, we've got Baguette, and she has gone hog wild with that Con Air crimper. I remember this ad so well. She's in a mustard shirt. She's got funky, like, creeper leopard print shoes and a bag with nothing but magazines sticking out of it, and also one driving glove. She looks very cool, intimidatingly cool.
And suspenders.
So is this a bag company or a clothes company?
Bags.
Okay. Do you think maybe the photographer could bring another light into the studio so they can actually light up these bags and not have be formless clumps?
No, Dave. He's creating a vibe.
That vibe is, I don't know why I would buy this. Well done.
I would have to see the dirt bag's jock straps, which is what it appears his entire bag is filled with. Just underwear and jock straps. So I don't mind that.
Well,
it's
you know
dark.
Why? Because he always has to constantly change them because he's putting ice packs down there to keep himself nice and cool, refreshed.
That's
feeling great.
Ice bag. Yeah. What is she wearing necklacy-wise? Is it a bunch of clothespins or belts? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, I hate to agree with Dave, but it's true. It's too dark to see.
It's too dark. It's too dark to see.
Moving on. Page 137, we've got who's who among American high school students. They make it seem like it's very prestigious to be named one of these high school students as opposed to anyone who writes a bio and sends it in and pays gets to be in this book. See also Canadian Who's Who, which I might be in or might have been in at one time.
It's worth saying that this is now in the junkie 1/16th ad yes. collection at the back of the magazine. So, you know, you're getting what you pay for on all the things we'll be talking about from this section.
Mm-hmm. The ad for that says, reach America's most responsive teens in Sassy. For further information, call Dee Dee Widrow.
Another great name.
Yes.
Dee Dee Widrow. Wow.
Dee Dee Widrow. Hey, I reach America's most responsive teens. So you talk with a little more professionalism to Dee Dee Widrow.
Page 42, we get a cologne ad, Trey L.A. Pam, did this make you feel seen as a resident of Los Angeles?
I do carry around a Trey L.A. impulse body spray like Mace in my mm-hmm. hand on the approach from men. Doesn't she look like she's going to put it right in his eyes?
Yeah.
Well, especially dangerous. When you read the copy, Pam.
Dateline, Friday, 3 p.m., Beverly Hills. I noticed her before I saw her. What? How can you do that? I noticed her. Oh, because of her fragrance. Pam. It's working on me, you guys. I'm so sorry. It's been a long week. I noticed her even before I saw her. It was something about her fragrance. I turned, but she was almost out of sight. I had to meet her, catch up with her. But what would I say? The usual opening line? No, not this time. I had to think quickly. Flowers? Well, I've seen it work in the movies. Hi. Look at how his hands are. Oh! I'm on basenotes.net. Don't you want to know? Trey L.A. launched in 1988. It's discontinued, obviously. But it says, here it is. I can't have found this. Sweet, fruity, floral fragrance. No, that's
it. That, we're ending it there. The podcast is going to be, here it is. Doesn't matter what you do after this, I'm cutting it. People will never know what the notes of Trey L.A. is. Trust me.
It's a suit.
Let's talk Sassy Club. The theme this month, Groove Out, a.k.a. Hated Hippies. Boo.
All the stand-ins for like 60 hippie culture, the designs, the fonts, the patterns and all that, like that survived as the modern go-tos for that period. They all suck balls. There's a reason why when there's like a 60s revival of fashion, it lasts maximum 2 months and then disappears again because that sucks. The way that like this page is the way we remember the 60s in the way that in the 80s, the 50s were checkerboard, floor diners, poodle skirts and like bunch of Fonzies. And that was it. That was the 50s. That all there was in the 50s.
Bunch of Fonzies.
But you know what I mean? Like this, mm-hmm. this is the distilled pop culture 60s. Stuff and it all looks terrible. And I know we're supposed to pick something each week from the Sassy Club, but this is all crap.
I would probably go with the bracelets. These are the least time locked product, I would
They're
say.
They're the least groovy.
Yes. They are the least groovy and the least groovox.
I agree. I don't want to buy any of this today, but I know at the time I had those piece earrings, those dangly piece earrings in all of those sizes and a piece necklace that I still have. Because I'm a hoarder of tiny things.
They look cheap, but I have to admit, I probably had peace sign earrings at the time as well. Okay. Confession.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, let's get into some magazine-y topics, starting with The Diary, which is called Say Cheese. Officially, it's about Cheryl, the art director. We also find out in a postscript, this is Mike Flaherty's premiere issue. We will be hearing more from him as he goes over from copy editor to doing a lot of writing, being more of the staff boy than Neil, as Neil faded into the background. Speaking of whom, we have quotes, because Cheryl works most closely with Neil, who's her direct report. It seems that some of you have developed the parentheses bizarre and parentheses misconception that Neil is an adorable dreamboat. That's my paraphrase. Like, how would anyone have reached that conclusion, Jane Pratt, a.k.a. Neil's publicist? Like, you all think Neil is just such a cutie. Yeah, because you tell us that every fucking issue. You are, like, trying to convince us that you're trying to incept him into all of our minds as, like, the ideal guy. Shut up, Jane. Anything else to add about that?
It's just a one note with Neil. I'm ready for a new note. Say what?
Hey, What?
Say what? Girls aren't dumb. Say what? Our first letter. I'd just like to comment about what he said. It made me really peed off, especially Ross 18. He was intimidated by her. Give me a break, Ross 18. He must go to school with some girls who are pretty hard up if he can't cope with someone who doesn't want to be in a hood ornament on his car. I'm just proving a point, and Ross 18 was a prime example. No offense to anybody who knows and likes Ross 18. Fellow female brain, Melanie. I love it. I love it. Ross 18 can go fuck himself. It sounds like he just wants some piece of shit. And if you're the piece of shit who likes Ross, no offense. Sorry, feminism. Bye. Good job, Melanie.
Next, we have a letter from Andrea in St. Clair, Michigan, who agrees with me that the story from a couple of issues ago about why having crushes on celebrity men is bad for you in your love life is total horseshit. And cites as an example, her mother has a crush on George Michael and everything's fine, so just quiet you. Well, that is a very funny example. I agree. I hated that article. Then we have a letter from Jen from Windham, New Hampshire, who has noticed the running slagging of John Stamos in What Now, how they used him as an example for Daggy and Wanker, and said, basically, get off Johnny Depp's jock and realize there's nothing wrong with John Stamos. And then we have in parentheses, okay, the polls are open. Who is sexier, John Stamos or Johnny Depp? Very different answers in 1988 versus 2021, in my opinion.
That's true.
Then someone who appreciates Catherine's work in particular. She doesn't know how she survived talking to the 11-year-old geniuses. I would have went crazy. Well, you would have probably got criticized by the geniuses for not knowing how verbs work, because you wouldn't have went crazy. You would have gone crazy. Nicole. What sassy worth is the headline? One that's just like, I think sassy's great. And then another one who says, knock it off with the parenthetical interjections all the time, which is then, of course, followed with like a bunch of parenthetical interjections. I don't remember anyone being that irritated by them at the time, but I'm sure they got more than one letter if they printed this one. Moving on, we have a magazine-y feature. We just weren't ourselves that day. And the concept behind this one is everybody trades jobs for a day. And the result seems to be everyone hates everyone else's job and thinks it's too hard, except for Elizabeth, who gets to be Mary for a day, which means she gets to go to a spa and get pampered and her ass kissed because they think that she's the beauty editor and they want to get a nice write-up. And it works because they recommend their makeup in the Wake Up story. But this was fun. I thought this was a good way to, like, describe all the ways magazines are put together and figure out which one of these many jobs you want to have someday. Or perhaps that was just me. Like, even the bitching is glamorous, I thought.
Yeah, it was fun. I got confused because they didn't tell you who was talking and the voices would change. And then I'd have to go to the end to figure out who switched. So it would have been kind of fun to be like, these two switched jobs.
Right.
And they, you know, had their expectations and then the reality. But this just felt like a hazing, like they all woke up in a different cubicle and they were like, ah, this is what I'm going to do today. But this is where Christina does her cover, her fake cover for Sassy. And it looks dope. I like it. I like the way the cutouts look. And, you know, I like her fake titles. They would have been good.
Hunks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hunk, singular. Yeah. Same image, different cover lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different cover lines. So she did hunk. So do you want to date a rock star? Johnny Depp's Guide to Kissing, gorgeous new movie actors, and nude poster, which is not untrue.
It's true.
Nude poster. Yeah.
There was.
So she was doing a good job. And Karen's is the best with a solid closer about how it sucks to be a copy editor. And then she leaves a bunch of copy editing problems. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good solid closer.
Let's close it out with Inside Out, where we get a little postmortem about the celebrity critics, which we are told is a limited, in italics, engagement, because One of them, Alan Boyce, apparently stood up Christina for the screening he was supposed to go to and then had to send her a photo, like a looks like a Polaroid from the next day with him at the theater, really going to see the movie before doing his review.
That photo, though, is at he's at a Cineplex Odeon theater. And I was about to get all angry because I didn't think they were in the U.S. by then, but they were. Mm-hmm. But it just sent me back to a time. A glorious time.
I know what this is going
to
be.
When you went to a Cineplex Odeon theater and you bought yourself a nice big bag, warm bag of popcorn, warm up top, cold in your crotch, and you would go to this podium they had set up. And on little sort of like bank pen chains, there were all these shakers, like big salt shakers. But each one, there was like six or seven of them, was filled with a different flavor a powder that you could sprinkle on your popcorn. Mm-hmm. And this, okay, I'm going to open up this whole Mayo Miracle Whip thing again. This being Canada, they weren't all, like when you go to your grocery store and they have those little ones of these, they're nacho cheese and something else cheese and maybe ranch. Those are your choices in America. There, salt and vinegar and dill pickle in addition to white cheddar and nacho cheddar and some other ones.
Sour cream and onion.
Sour cream and onion, yeah. So being able to put a vinegary topping on your popcorn, like and as much as you want, like they made the mistake of not securing the lid. So like there's this whole process where you get the bag, you would dump a whole bunch in, you would lightly tap the bag, tap, 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 tap. Tappa. So we get to the lower and then you put another layer on. Tappa, tappa. That was your mid. And then you top it off with a generous. So the first few bites of your popcorn, it was like eating a top of a mountain. There's like this little peak of popcorn and covered in like an Everest amount of snow. And you eat it and you're like for like 5 minutes.
Oh,
you're like,
that's
oh, that's good stuff. Fuck, I miss that so much. So much. Wow. And then it got to the point where people were abusing it so much, they started like kind of like limiting it. And then it became things, something you had to pay for eventually. But yeah. Oh, that 2 year block where you can go there and do that. Oh, best fucking popcorn I've ever had in my life, guys. Oh. I'm really kind of bummed now that I said all that, knowing that I can't just go out there. Now that everything's opening up, go out there and get myself a big bag of coughing popcorn.
Have you ever tried to look online and see if you can find salt and vinegar powder?
But the thing is, though, you also have to, like, make cinema-grade popcorn.
Right, but you could bring it to the theater with you.
Oh, that's true.
You could bring it to Alamo. You could get your own bottomless bowl of popcorn. Mm. Fuck, let's go to Alamo this weekend. It's so all good. Right. Anyway... back to the article. We hear, it's always tough getting the sassy staff to hand in their watch it reviews in time to print them while the movies are still in theaters. Oh, I guess that's why it's literally never happened. This is something we've complained about before, that by the time the reviews get in sassy, they've been out for months. But finally, we hear, all the celebs turned out to be really great writers. But did they? Did they, though?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dave, look. Click it.
Oh, kernels, yeah. That was a chain, but they're not the same.
This is the same.
Sorry.
No, that stuff is, it's not as, the stuff in the theaters was almost to the point where...
you might die.
No, okay, so there's powder that will stay a powder most of the time, and there's a quality of fine powder that as soon as it comes within a mile of any moisture, it becomes a clump. That's how fine it is.
Yeah.
That was what you got at the theater. Kernels popcorn sprinkles are like more... course. So it's not quite the same sort of invisible coverage.
Savory Shakes from K-Tum Restaurant Supply has barbecue, white cheddar cheese, hot jalapeno, salt, and vinegar. That really looks like it can cause an asthma attack. Ranch, cheddar cheese, sour cream and chives, and bacon and cheese.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that might be more. That might be more the thing.
Yeah, while you're there, go ahead and get yourself a popcorn machine.
With the exception of hot jalapeno and bacon and cheese, those are all the flavors they had at the time.
There you go. There you go.
Twist.
Look at
bookmark.
Corn. You can get something called corn treats.
Sorry, Pam. I've got the popcorn.
Man, K-Tom, you do good work. Mm. You're going to get a bucket of white cheddar powder.
So this is sassy, right? This is this podcast.
Let's wrap it up. Next time, we'll share our results from the How Gutsy Are You quiz and play your latest voicemails. Haven't called the hotline yet? Rectify that! 720 Sassy Go is waiting for your messages 24/7. For my plug this week, the Dumb Guy, Naggy Wife sitcom really came into its own in the mid to late 90s, but it had definitely already been established by 1988, and it's our collective knowledge of this trope that underlies AMC's new dramedy, Kevin Can Fuck Himself, which I reviewed for Primetimer, and which we will link in the show notes.
I was on a podcast called TV Guidance Counselor this week, where Ken has his guest pick an issue of TV Guide, and then we pick what we would watch every night in primetime, just like I did when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I picked March 5th through 11th, 1983, and Ken and I found out that maybe kind of the same person. There was a lot in common, and it was odd, and we had to stop asking each other questions before we found out we shared a father. So, TVGuidanceCounselor.com. Go ahead and listen.
You can follow this show at Listen to Sassy on social. You can follow our peoples at David T. Cole, at Pamela Ribbon, and at Tara Ariano. And rate and review us on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. 6 or 7 stars, please.
You can call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY. Go leave a voicemail about the show or call... Oh, God. You can also call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY. Go...
You can call us if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. 720 Sassy Go is the number. It's quite fine.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Color me wet.
Anyway, if you are in the market for a giant hat, I mean, did you look at any of these links that I sent? Yacht Cap. Just click the Misha Yacht Cap or hover over it. Look at these things.
Oh, no.
I'm impressed. Listen, if you are somewhere who can wear the ooh la la face mask during a pandemic and you're not a runway model currently runwaying, but you are in some sort of eyes wide shut COVID fuck party. Who are you? I want to meet you. I don't want to be friends, but I want to know what it's like. What is it like when you wear the 2268 pepper hat outside? Go ahead.
Anyone having a fuck party in COVID, masks are not allowed. I mean, come on now.
No, what if that's the kink?
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. These hats, that mask is kinky.
Yeah.
If I was just in this hat, Dave, don't listen to any of this. I know it's going to make you too uncomfortable. But if I was only in this hat, that's the only way you could maybe pull off, I personally could pull off a Wetal and Shawn original.
Right. And you know, if you're in a yacht hat, who's the soundtrack for your lovemaking that night? It's Michael McDonald.
Oh. I just had to take off some clothes. Ooh la la. Yeah, I'm going to my COVID fuck party tonight. That's my getting ready music. Tara singing Michael McDonald is going to be my getting ready music forever.
Yeah. All right, Tara, take us out on singing Michael McDonald's COVID fuck party.
Welcome to my fuck party. Please put on your mask. It's a pandemic.
All right.
Perfect.
Okay, but here's the scenario. You're at your COVID fuck party, and you're getting along with motorcycle jacket girl, and you're like, you know, you want to take off her pants, but you only get it up to the cap because there's this big...
I don't think that's the way in and out of the pants, Dave.
...patch, and then you say, fuck it, and you go fuck Michael McDonald in the corner.
That's what he's hoping. I didn't...
I'm
this is
here
the first time
in
I've
the
actually...
corner.
I'm going to put your baby and you in the corner. Put a baby in you. Put a baby in you in the corner. Listen.
Mess that one there.